So we are in week three of our summer series all about spiritual disciplines. And so we are using God's Word, and we're using the book Celebration of Discipline by Richard J. Foster, and looking at these spiritual disciplines, these things that the early church practiced, that ancient Christians practiced, that unfortunately have gotten lost over the last couple thousand years. And so things that should be part of our life as followers of Jesus Christ, but maybe we don't know about it, haven't heard about it, have forgotten about it. And so we're taking time this summer to go over the spiritual disciplines, to talk about them, what they are, why they're important to our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And hopefully as we learn about them together, you can start practicing those disciplines as part of your life. Last week, we talked about meditation and the importance of meditating on God's Word. This morning, we're going to talk about prayer. If you're able, turn to Luke chapter 11. And as you're turning there, join me in a word of prayer this morning. God, we are grateful that we can gather together, that we can hear your word. So, Father, as I share this morning, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. And may our lives be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard Foster says, prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into a perpetual communion with the Father. Can I tell you something that hopefully you actually are like, we are not born knowing how to pray. Prayer is not something that you magically just know how to do. Even after saying yes to Jesus and saying, I am following Jesus Christ, I want him to be my Lord and Savior, we still have to learn how to pray. And so we see that when we look in Luke chapter 11, we see what the disciples asked Jesus, starting in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So the 12 apostles that got to be with Jesus, eat with Jesus, spend time with Jesus, got to get to know him and build relationship with Jesus and understand who he was and how he thought, they still had to ask Jesus how to pray. Even being in the presence of Almighty God, they still needed to learn and ask Jesus how to pray. And so the same is true for us. We are people that should be constantly seeking after God, constantly seeking after the Father, and asking God to show us, to teach us, for us to learn about him, learn more about him, about his character. But I want us to keep reading and not stop at verse 4 of Luke 11. So many times we talk about prayer, we go over the Lord's Prayer and say, oh, we're done, that's it, all right, I'm ready to go. But let's keep reading, starting in verse 5 of Luke chapter 11. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence or his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, Jesus not only taught the disciples how to pray, he also taught them what to pray. He told them to boldly ask God, to boldly ask, to seek, to knock on the door. He told them to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus will give the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they're called to boldly go before God, to boldly ask of him and trust that God, our good Father, will give his children good gifts. I love this part of the passage. I love and hate this part of the passage. I don't like snakes. I used to live in the country. We had snakes all the time. We had a snake grabber, and we'd grab them and toss them out into the field because I do not like snakes. Half the time, LT, he would get them too. He thought it was fun. You don't like them either? Or you wanted to grab them? Hezek's the same way. So don't like snakes. So when I read this passage about what father would give their child a serpent, I'm like, I don't like them. I wouldn't touch them. And so, yeah, if my dad had given me a snake when I asked for something else, I probably would have just freaked out and ran away. But see, God, our Heavenly Father, gives good gifts to us, and so we're not worried about us, who Jesus, he calls us evil. So I've got to say this, none of us are perfect. None of us are worthy of salvation. None of us are worthy of Jesus dying on the cross for us, but he did it anyhow. He did it for an evil, fallen, sinful people who constantly have to seek after God. But see, we have to look at some of Jesus' teachings on prayer to realize that Jesus taught us to pray bold prayers, to not be shy when we pray and ask God and seek after God. We look in John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Because I am going to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 22. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 21. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown to the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. See, we have to be willing to boldly approach the throne of grace, to boldly go before God and to have bold prayers. Maybe the thing that needs to change about our prayer life is not the words we're saying, but how we are going before God, our Father. Are we willing to boldly approach God and ask Him for big things? Are we willing to boldly go before God and ask Him to change the world? Are we willing to boldly go before God and ask Him for things that seem impossible? Or do we think that, well, I mean, it's just me, and I don't know if God really would listen to me, and I don't know if God is willing to say yes, or willing to say, you know what? I serve a big God. I serve a God that created this world. I serve a God who created me. I serve a God that knit me together in my mother's womb. I serve a God that can do big things, but are we willing to ask God for big things in our prayers? See, the Bible says we're to boldly approach the throne of grace. Maybe things that need a change in our prayer life is how we're praying. Jesus talks about don't be like the hypocrites, because they think that by all of their words, they will be heard by God. Maybe we need to start our time of prayer in silence. Spending time in silence to begin our time of praying, our time seeking after God, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we should be praying. When was the last time you spent time in silence before God? Can I be honest? For this guy that loves to talk, this extrovert standing in front of you here, being in silence is not an easy thing. But maybe that's the thing God is calling us to do to change our prayer life. To be willing to sit in His presence, in silence, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And from there, we know what we should be praying by listening to the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with their weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That is not how you expect things to go. I don't know anybody that's like, woohoo! That was hard! Yes! Flat tire! Woohoo! I ran out of gas! That's not our normal reaction, but that's what James says. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, prayer isn't supposed to be something that we just do when we're gathered together on Sunday mornings, when we're gathered together in small groups, when we're gathered together, but it's something we're supposed to do every day of our life that we can do by ourselves. Is spending time going before our Heavenly Father in prayer, listening to Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and speaking to God the Father. That is what we're supposed to be doing every day, is living a life of prayer, being a people of prayer. Let me offer this to you this morning. If you still struggle with what to pray or how to pray, there's a model of prayer called ACTS. The A stands for adoration or worship. That's praising God for simply who He is, for His majesty, His attributes. Psalm 99:5. It says, exalt the Lord our God, worship at His footstool. Holy is He. The C stands for a confession. Acknowledging and repenting of sins and shortcomings before God. Psalm chapter 51, starting in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. The T stands for thanksgiving. That's expressing gratitude for God's blessings, His grace, His faithfulness. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's favor that we have because God loves us, not because we deserve it, not because we have earned it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The S stands for supplication or petition. It's making earnest requests or bringing specific personal needs to God. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You can use the Acts model as a way of praying. You can take time in silence before God, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Can I just say, the mode of praying isn't as important as the fact that you're doing it. The fact that you're willing to give up your time and believe that it's important to take time to spend with our Heavenly Father. That is what is important. That is the most important thing. So ever you pray, pray boldly. Ask God for big things. Ask God to do big things. Ask God to save your family. Ask God to bring people back to faith. Ask God to change this world, to change our community. Ask God to start with us, to bring revival to this place, to bring a change of heart, that people are banging down the doors to get in this place because they hear the truth of the gospel. Pray for God to do a work in this place. However we pray, we need to pray boldly, trusting that the God of the universe is the one who can do all things and will do all things, and the one that can change hearts and minds. Will you pray with me? Father God, so many times it's hard to know what to pray for. It's hard to know how to pray. But Father God, we are seeking after you. We are seeking your strength. We're seeking your freedom. We're seeking salvation that comes from you alone. So, Father God, every day let us surrender to you. Let us surrender our hearts to you, surrender our wills to you. Let us come and seek you first. Let it not be a chore. Let it not be something that we feel like we have to do, but let it be something that we get to spend time with our Heavenly Father. We get to spend time in your presence. We get to spend time before you. Father, change our hearts. May we desire you over any and everything. May we desire to be with you more than anything. Father, move even now. In Jesus' name, amen.